Well, welcome back to the God School. This message today is very important and I find to be most revealing, wherein our relationship with God is understood or brings even more understanding. And when we understand, regardless of circumstance, that understanding can never be taken away. The Apostle Paul, in a letter to the Hebrews, in the fourth chapter, in the 16th verse, Paul says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We're going to come back, hopefully close with edification about this verse. Today, we want to go to Psalm 91. As many of you know, at the Bible Museum, we make individual pages from fragments of old Bibles available to the public, whereby they can choose a favorite verse from a text that's 350 years or older. Now, we have thousands of pages, and our inventory has virtually every verse of King James and Geneva Bibles that are contained in the scriptures. The passage or pages which contain this Psalm 91 are probably among the most desired, and therefore I don't think we have a handful of any description of Bible, quarto, folio, small folio, Geneva, bishops, King James, Matthews. Psalm 91 is among the least, therefore the most favorite of many a Bible believing people. I want to dig into it today. It begins, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, in order to get the proper perspective of this psalm. As I was taught, it's kind of like a play being staged. And there are three different participants. There's a choir, that is a group of assembled persons, whether they be believers, whether they be angels, I'm not sure. But whoever they are familiar with the operations of God. The second player in this staged drama is the responder. And the hope is, that's you and me. And the third player in this drama is God Himself. So you should get a pen and get ready to mark in your Bibles and put a one next to verse 1. Verse 2, put a number 2. One stands for that choir, for that assembly of those who are God's. That is, His possession. So mark verse 1 with a 1. Mark verse 2 with a 2. Mark verses 3 through 8 with a 1. Mark verse 9 with a 2. Mark verse 10 through 13 with a 1. Mark verse 14 through 16 with a 3. Now that we have given some context, the choir sings, and he says, and they say, he, and the proper translation is he that is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is this secret place? I pull from many sources, the first of which is my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. He translates this as a place of protection. He translates it as to hide like a skin. In the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament from the Hebrew, the word is biotheia. Dr. Scott also would translate it the emergency room. God's describing a relationship here. And the choir is declaring it. He that is dwelling in the protection, in the biothea, in the emergency room, in the place where God covers and protects you. The one dwelling in that place of the Most High shall abide. Elyon is the translation of the Most High. And folks, there is no God like unto our God. Shall abide. King James offers an alternative. Shall lodge. Stay there. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know the shadow is, think about it, is near to us. You know, you don't stand on one side of the street and have your shadow all the way on the other side of the street. It's near. That's a picture of how near God is to us. Now, having heard that, verse 2 is a response from the responder. And let me assure you, there cannot be a response without a receptor. This is part of God's grace that we have been able to receive. There are thousands and millions of signals around us all day. We can't pick them all up without a receiver. Part of God's grace. And the responder responds this way. King James says, I will say of the Lord. No, I will say to the Lord. Notice if you have a King James Bible, he is in italics. No, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God. And because this response is so personal. I believe we have license to say, not third person, but first person, in you will I trust. This word trust is a faith word. It is that word in the Hebrew, batach. It means to lean with your whole weight upon a staff with the confidence that it is able to hold you up, to hold me up. The choir comes in again. And he says, and they say, surely he, that is God, shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. This word is hasa, and the picture in the Hebrew is running to the shelter of a mother bird's wings, for there the chicks, the little ones, us, find safety. In verse 4, it continues, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I believe that the original gives us even a better translation, wherein we can translate it, his faithfulness shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There is a lot of pestilence and destruction all around us. But we are not to be afraid, for his faithfulness is our shield and our buckler. He is our refuge and fortress. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, are you listening to God's word? Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold. We are in glorious days. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Oh, what a precious thought that is. Verse 9, now comes the responder. Now the King James translates it, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thine habitation. It's a simple response. It's from the responder. It's from the one who has received. of God's grace and can't contain himself and blurts out and says, "Surely, O Lord, thou art my refuge. Surely, thou, O Lord, are my refuge." Verse 10 says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone." How many of you know the devil probably knows more scripture than any of us? He even attempted to use this scripture to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample under thy feet." What's he saying? I would give you this exhortation that's found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, remove us from this secret place, from dwelling in this secret place of the Most High. And God, having heard the choir, and having heard the voice of the responder," verse 14 begins, and he says, God speaking, King James, "because he has settled his love upon me." No, God's response is, "Yay, hooray, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name." Many of you know God reveals himself through his names, and he has multiplied names, just describing different facets of our Heavenly Father, any one of which, if we would grab hold of and declare, God's response, because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Oh, no, wait a minute, Christians don't have trouble. Isn't that the modern message? No trouble for Christians. God, you marched down the aisle and stood up and said, you know, I confess my sins before God. God, forgive me my sins, and God has forgiven me. And from now on, everything is going to be, yellow brick road. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. No trouble at all. Thank you, Father. It says of the responder, he or she because we have set our love upon him, he will deliver us. He will set us on high because we've known his name. In the original, it says of the 14th verse, therefore I will deliver him. No, it says, therefore I will intensely deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Jesus said to his disciples, in the world you'll have tribulation, whackings, trouble. God says, to continue with Jesus, he said, but be of good courage. And how many times have I said here that courage is 90% of faith? It's a never give up attitude. It's a continual dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, God says. Honor him. Oh, that 115th Psalm rings in my ears, and it says, which says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory and honor for thy truth, thy faithfulness, and thy mercy's sake. But God says to those who respond like the recipient in Psalm 91 that not only will he deliver him, but he'll honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Hebrew word being translated here is Yeshua. I will show him Jesus. to Hebrews. It says, the third chapter of Hebrews talks about the disfaith of the children of Israel. God said that he would, that he prepared for them a land flowing with milk and honey, and they kept letting circumstance dissuade them of what God had promised. And it talks of disfaith. It says, 19th verse of the third chapter, so we see that they could not enter in because of disfaith. Paul opens that fourth chapter, and he didn't have chapters and verses, but we use it for edification, so we all know where we're at. Paul says, let us therefore fear. Let us therefore be traumatized, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. Lest we should be a day late. Back to the 16th verse of that fourth chapter. Let us therefore come boldly. And the Greek would tell us this way. Let us keep coming. King James translates boldly. It's speaking God loves to hear his promises brought to back to his ears. There's a passage that says, and I'm paraphrasing, I put forth my word, and it shall not return unto me void. That is, his word shall not be without effect. It says, knowing this, let us keep coming, speaking unto the throne of grace. Do you remember those passages? With the children of Israel in the desert, being thirsty, God tells Moses to go strike the rock, a type of Christ who was smitten for us, and water flowed freely. It watered 3.25 million people. And there came a time in their continuing journey when they were thirsty again. And this time, the instruction to Moses, Christ already having been smitten, God simply tells Moses to speak to the rock. the water flow. Let us continue coming, speaking unto the throne of grace, unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Circle that word, help. The word here is biotheia, same word as in Psalm 91, verse 1, translated secret place. It means, and find grace in the nick of time, and find grace before it's too late. And find critical assistance that meets a certain need. Before I began, I decided to title this message, The Secret Place Revealed. To those of you who have ears, to those to whom God has given a new heart, to those who have become a new creation, to that inward man which is being renewed day by day. Here is that secret place. Wherein we continually come speaking that we may obtain mercy and find grace before it's too late. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundations of the world, that is, that place is in him. That place is in Jesus. That place is in Christ. That place is in Jesus Christ. That place is where God has chosen for himself out of those whom he has not chosen to be in the place where that place is in Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior. Think on this Selah, as the psalmists may say. And fear not to continue to come to this throne of grace. Whereby we may find help in time of need. And that's the God School for today.